All right. We enjoyed the worship this morning. Amen. And we believe we have something to share from the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are in the season, in the church world is called Advent season. The birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where we celebrate that. We celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us who are saved, we are eagerly anticipating the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for the rapture to take place. That's what we're looking for. Amen. Amen. Oh, that will be glory for me when by his grace we shall look on his face. That will be glory. Amen. That's one of them songs y'all taught me, and I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Lord, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. So I'm asking, Lord, that you would use this vessel in this moment as you choose. And Lord, let my life, let it praise you. Asking for clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Lord, please speak to me, through me, and to all those that would have an ear to hear what your spirit has to say to the church. And Lord, please help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Walk with me to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis chapter number 12. You can follow along in any version of the scripture that you have. But as you all are aware of, I have the Amplified Classic version of the scriptures. Genesis chapter number 12. I have a thought that I want to talk about, and it's basically the promise. The promise. Genesis chapter number 12, beginning at verse number 1 in the Amplified Classic. This is what it says. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, Amplified unpacks it, with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. And I, verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindreds of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. We'll stop there. This is a part of the what is called the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. And God made this promise to a heathen man, to a man that was not yet there, the Jewish nation hadn't been brought about yet. This man was from Ur. He was Chaldean, so he was a Gentile, because if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. So even before God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, God made this promise. And when he made this promise, he was talking about that in him, in Abram, Abram's seed, or we can call him Abraham because we know as the biblical record continues, his name is changed to Abraham. All right? But God made this promise to our father Abraham. And I'm so thankful that God is God. I'm so thankful that God, he is consistently God, and he is consistent and faithful to his own word, to his own promise. Even in the invention that God made called time, no matter how long God allows time to run in human history, time does not negate the promise of God. And he made this promise way back here in Genesis, and he was talking and pointing to the seed of Abraham, and he confirmed the promise even, I believe, in the 17th chapter of Genesis, where he makes the promise again. He reinforces or reminds Abraham of the promise that he made. We can put our faith, we can put our confidence, we can bank our life, if you will, on the promise of God. On the word of God, because God's word is settled in heaven forever. And the promise was made, and God instituted and created a nation of Israel. He created a nation, and they partly obeyed God, and at times they disobeyed God. At times they got into trouble, and God delivered them when they cried unto him, as often we as humans we do. Sometimes we get into trouble of our own making, and we cry out to God, and God comes through and he delivers. And even in the midst of all that was happening in the history of Israel, the promise was still in force. They were looking for the seed of Abraham. That would be the promise. And in the biblical account of the people of God in their history, well, in God's story, as it relates to his relationship with humankind, when he got the Jews to be a nation, and then when he started allowing some of the Old Testament writers to rehearse and remind and enhance what was already spoken, then God started letting them know which tribe this seed was going to come from. And he let them know that this promised seed would come through the tribe of Judah. And so I can imagine that every time a male child was born in the tribe of Judah, there might have been an inkling of wondering, could this be the one? Could this be the one? But Isaiah said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. He said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth. So, no, he couldn't be the one. All those other male childs who were born in Judah, they were born by natural means. But I'm thankful to the Lord that no matter how long it took, God's word is still faithful. God, you can count on God's word in the fullness of time. So when God said, okay, it's time. Yeah, I know I promised it. And I know that Israel was a nation. I created them. And I know that they were in bondage for 430 years. And Israel had some faithful patriarchs, Israel. I'm reminded of Joseph. Joseph believed God's word so much, and he knew that God was going to deliver them. And he said, when we get up out of here, get my bones and take them with you. That's the type of faith that we need in 2023. We need the faith to believe every promise of God to our last breath on this side of eternity. We need that type of faith, that type of trust. But I want us as non-Jews, as Gentiles, to look to the promise as to how it affects and how it involves us. Remember in Genesis, God said, in your seed shall all the families and kindreds of the earth be blessed. So salvation for us non-Jews, salvation for us Gentiles is not an afterthought or a second thought of God. It is in God's mind, and it is God's will that all mankind, no matter what nation you're born into physically and humanly, you have an opportunity to be a participant and a recipient of this promise. Bible talks about, I'm moving now to the New Testament. I'm moving to the book of Ephesians. I'm looking to Ephesians, and Paul is writing to the saints at Ephesus, and he lets them know in the second chapter of Ephesians, and beginning at verse number 11, Amplified Classic says, therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles, heathens in the flesh. Isn't that something? He says, don't forget where you were. Don't forget who you were. Therefore, remember, Ephesians 2:11, that at one time you were Gentiles, heathens in the flesh, called uncircumcision by those who call themselves circumcision, the Jews. There was always some animosity, if you will, between Jew and Gentile, right? Circumcision, he says, itself a mere mark in the flesh made by human hands. Then Paul continues, he says, remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in him. Remember what your condition was, Gentiles. You were utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation. All the promises and all the laws that God gave to Israel, the Gentiles, they were not involved in it. They were not covered in it. So you know what? So that means we can't now as Gentiles go back and try to keep the law. Huh? No, because it wasn't even given to us as a people. It was given to Israel. And then the Bible further says that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And Christ is the promise. I might as well let you know that up front. The promise is Jesus Christ. He is the promise. But Paul continues here, remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in him. And newsflash, if you're not born again of the water and of the spirit, that's your condition right now in 2023. You are separated and you are living apart from Christ. You are excluded from all part in him, but that does not have to remain your condition because of the promise. He said, you were utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation and strangers with no share in the sacred compacts of the messianic promise. Now remember, the messianic promise said that in his seed shall all the kindreds and nations of the earth be blessed. But if you don't accept the one who is the fulfillment of the promise, then there is no blessing for you. And the fulfillment of the promise is found in Jesus Christ. He said, you were with no knowledge of or right in God's agreements, his covenants, and you had no hope, no promise. You were in the world without God. That's a sad condition to be in, to be living in the world without God. And if you came in here today and you're not saved, or if you're listening to me on the online campus and you're not saved, you're in a dangerous position. You're living by the grace of God. You're living by the mercy of God, but God wants somebody today to receive and believe the promise. Then verse number 13 says, Ephesians 2 and 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away through, by, and in the blood of Christ have been brought near. That's a moment, and that's a thought that we can pause and give God praise for, because it was the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary for all mankind, for your sins and my sins, that brought us closer to God, that brought us near to Jesus Christ. It is because we put our faith and our confidence in the promise that God made a long time ago. And I'm so thankful that God is the original promise keeper. I'm so thankful that while we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, God put up with our foolishness. God put up with our wickedness. God put up with our iniquity and our sin. We were born in sin. We were shaped in iniquity. And it was God's grace that kept us alive. It was God's mercy that spared us from an untimely death. It was God's love, his compassion, and his forbearance. I'm so thankful that God is so patient. I'm so thankful that God is long-suffering. Where would we be if it was not for the mercy and the long-suffering of our great God? The Bible said, if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? Aren't you glad that God put up with you for as long as he put up with you before you heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? And if truth be told, God is still putting up with some of us. Glory, hallelujah. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his grace. I thank God that my bad behavior does not negate the promise of God. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. I thank God that the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham can be found in nobody else but Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of the promise. He is the one that went to the cross and died for our sins. I'm glad. I'm so glad. I couldn't pay for my sins and you couldn't pay for yours. The angels couldn't pay for them and the prophets of old couldn't pay for it. It was Jesus himself in the fullness of time. I'm so glad that God keeps accurate records. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that God had somebody to preach the gospel unto us. Aren't you glad that whatever day that you heard the good news of Jesus Christ, God gave you a moment of spiritual clarity and said, this is exactly what I need. I need to repent. I need to have a change of heart. I need to have a change of mind. I need to have a change of direction. And I need to totally surrender to Jesus Christ. Listen, some of us
are living off of the prayers of those that have gone on into the presence of God. The reason why you ain't crazy, the reason why you ain't homeless, the reason why you ain't lost your mind, the reason why you're not locked up in jail is because somebody had been praying for you. And I hear God has already put in his word before we even got here that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. I don't know who all was praying for me, but I got an idea that somebody somewhere was praying, and you ain't got to name somebody, because the Bible says that this promise, this Jesus, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Oh, glory, hallelujah. If anybody can get a prayer through, it's Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus is still, he's our high priest, and he's our faithful high priest. Look at the promise. This is a magnificent promise. This is a power-packed promise that he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. That means right now, God is aware. I'm talking about the promise. I'm talking about Jesus. He is aware of everything that we're going through. Nothing in our lives, down to the minutest detail, escapes our great God. He is aware, and he ain't sleeping. He has not clocked out. He has not taken the vacation, and he takes no time off. But the Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Listen, aren't you glad that you're a saint? Aren't you glad that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? And the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he have redeemed from the hand of the enemy, all in keeping to the promise that God made a long time ago in your seed, not seed plural, but seed singular. In your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I'm praying for your family that every last one of them will get this blessing. I'm praying for my family that every one of them would get this blessing. Oh, glory, and receive glory. The promise, we ain't got much time, y'all. We ain't got time to be playing, because just like he promised, he's coming back to get us. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And when he cracks that sky, you're gonna have to be already in him to go with him. Why would you wait? This ain't Vegas. Why would you gamble up with your life? Listen, God is not playing. God is not mocked. He's coming soon, and he's coming for church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You better get yourself together. We ain't got as much time as we thought. Look up, look up. Our redemption is drawing nigh. Yes, Israel was in bondage for 430 years. But when God got ready to send a deliverer, he sent Moses. And Moses declared in the book of Deuteronomy, a prophet shall the Lord our God raise up like unto me, and he shall hear him. He was talking about Jesus. Jesus is that prophet. Jesus is that promise. He is our redeemer. He is our soon coming king. He is our savior. We don't have time to play church. We got to be the church. Are you in the church triumphant? Listen, it's not about a building. It's about the body of Jesus Christ. You can't join into this. You got to be born into this. I wish I could preach like I feel it, but I'm going to preach anyhow. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. You got to be in his body. You got to be in him. You got to be born again of the water and of the spirit. Oh, or else you can't even see the kingdom of God. How you going to go into something that you can't even see? That which is born of flesh is flesh. Yeah, you were born in flesh because I see you breathing and I see you moving. But marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Mama been praying, daddy been praying, auntie been praying, uncle been praying, and some of y'all still praying. God said, it's time for you to make a decision. I promise to he that comes to me, I will no wise cast him out, but you got to believe that he is your only hope of salvation. What do you think you're going to do when we leave here? You're going to say, oh, they were right. Yes, we were right, and we're getting ourselves right for the flight. We getting up out of here. Oh, yes, we are, for here we don't have any abiding city. I love the home that God let us get. It's nice and roomy and comfortable. I got some nice amenities, but I'm looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the promise. That's inside the promise. Oh, glory. I told you this promise is multifaceted. It's like a heavenly Rubik's Cube. You can turn the promise of God all around. God has promised us that we who are alive and remain. Oh, glory. Oh, we're going to be caught up, y'all. That's a promise. That's a promise. I can't jump as high as I used to jump when I was young and dunking the basketball. But one day, you talk about getting some height. You talking about getting some height. I'm going to get some height. One day, I might be in the bay, but I'm going to get up. I'm going to have some hops then. Oh, glory. Because God's going to get us up. That's a promise. That's a promise. That promise. See how powerful God is. See how powerful his word is. He can make a promise over 2,000 years ago, and it's still strong. It's still holding fast. And we're hanging on every word of God. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, oh, glory, inside that promise that he made to Abraham is another promise that he gave some of us already. When did he give it? On the day of Pentecost. Oh, glory. Here's another unfolding of the promise. They were all in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Oh, here comes the promise. There was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them, oh glory, there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat, oh glory, on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And every last one of them in the room was all filled. Wait a minute, that is an unfolding of the part of the promise. Because when Peter got up and preached, he said, this is that, reminding them of the promise. This is that that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That sounds like the promise is for everybody that will believe. And Acts said, and the promise What promise? The promise of the Holy Ghost is unto you, is to your children, to them that are afar off. Well, how did they receive the promise? Wait. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Before my great God and Savior went to the cross, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. So the Holy Ghost is Jesus. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is the promise himself. And God filled us with the Holy Ghost. And when he filled us with the Holy Ghost, we got it just like the Bible said. So we can witness and attest to everybody from every nation under God's creation that God is still keeping promises. And this promise is unto you. Don't sit there and try to figure God out. Just believe his word. You're going to bust up every synapse you have in your little peasy head trying to figure out God. Just believe what he said. When they told me that I was going to get the Holy Ghost, I couldn't even spell Bible, but I believe what they told me, and I let God know, God, this is what I got to get. This is what I want. So I waited. I did not wait with my arms folded. I did not wait tapping my feet, but I was waiting with anticipation. They said, praise God, before you get it, like you know you're going to get it. So I went crazy in my praise. I forgot all who was around me, and I connected somehow. Oh, this low down, oh, sinner connected with God. And I say, God, here I am. God, I ain't leaving this place until you give me the Holy Ghost. And God looked in my heart and saw that I was serious. And guess what happened? On Wednesday, June 19th, 1985, in the classroom down in 3200, the third classroom with the clock on the wall. Don't ask me what time it was. It was the day of my salvation. That's what time it was. Down came the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak in other tongues. As the Spirit of God gave the utterance, and I found out, yes, he keeps his promises. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And I've been running, sometimes slipping, but I've been running for God ever since. And I'm going to keep on running because I'm too close to the finish line. Oh, glory. I can't take a break. Oh, glory. I can't sit out. I don't need the coach to call a timeout. Keep me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I don't want to be a substitute. I want to be on God's starting team. I want to be able, when God says it's time to go, I want to be able to sit down like Jacob and tell my loved ones, listen, cry if you want to, but wipe your eyes. Because when God calls me home, I'm going exactly there, home with him. Because God has begotten us again to a ever-living hope. That's a promise from God. Somebody needs to receive the promise of the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to negotiate with God. You ain't got to try to figure God out. Just believe it. Jesus said, in that great day, the day of the feast, Jesus cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And he that believes on me, as the scripture, scripture is pointing back to a promise. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the promise is already out. Jesus put all the cards on the table. It's already out. It's a promise. What you gonna do with it? Well, I don't believe all that. Okay. All right. All right. You know what happened to the people that didn't believe they were going to Canaan? They died in the wilderness. So keep on with your unbelief. Well, that's just some bald-headed preacher from Brooklyn. You know nobody talking about. Oh, I've been changed. I've been changed. Yeah. I used to be thugging, but now I'm loving. Oh, glory. I'm loving on Jesus. I'm in love with him, and he's in love with me. Oh, glory. Yeah, I ain't perfect. Nowhere near it. But God is perfecting us. Huh? He's perfecting us because of his promise. Jesus said when he was in his earthly ministry, he says, out of all of them that you've given me, I've lost none. Can you unpack that promise for yourself? Out of all that you've given me, Jesus said, I've lost none. And he said on another occasion, no man can take you out of my hand. What other promises do you need? Huh? You don't need no backup plan. He is the plan. You the one need the backup. Oh, Lord. He's the plan. You try to invent something. The promise. Let me give you some scriptures. I'll let you go. I think I gave you enough to believe the promise anyway. Don't sit there in doubt. Don't sit there on the edge of your seat in the valley of decision. Somebody needs to be running up here. Somebody needs to get filled right in your seat. It's not complicated. Very simple. The promise has come. It's Jesus. He said, except you believe that I'm he, you're going to die in your sins. Oh, ouch. Well, grandma prayed. Grandpa prayed. Mom and them prayed. Junebug and them, man, Nay, they prayed, but you got to get up and do something. Yeah, I'm coming through everybody's hood. Little mama, Nay, and them, man, Nutmeg, and Eggnog. All of them. All of them. They still on the block. What you doing? Huh? What you gonna do sitting up in church and then don't make the rapture? What kind of sense does that make? Come on. Believe the promise. God ain't trying to kill you. He's trying to get, he said, I come that you might have life. Come on. Come on. Ain't no other way. Buddha gonna bow. Okay. Muhammad gonna be mumbling. The Krishna gonna be crying. When they meet Jesus, every knee's gonna bow. Why can you say that? That's what the word says. Every tongue's gonna confess Jesus is Lord. Smart move. Do your bowing and confessing now. While the blood is running warm in your veins. Believe the promise. Let me give you a scripture and then we can go. That's all God wants. He wants you to be saved. He did this so that somebody can get saved. This ain't no show. We don't come here for entertainment. You can go to SoFi for that. Some of y'all got tickets in your wallet. I hope you know what time we got to get to the parking lot. Don't worry. It ain't going to be no parking lot in heaven. Oh, glory. Y'all pray for my mind. I'm telling you. Pray for my mind. All right. A lot of stuff that we think is important.
when we put it up to eternity and spending time with Jesus, miss me with that foolishness. Pray for my mind, please. God, you need the Holy Ghost to get out of here. You need the Holy Ghost to get up out of here. You get out of here, right? You are not staying here. You're living here. But how are you going to leave? Are you going to have a home going or a funeral? There's a difference. Okay. All right. Okay. Just because you say. Yeah. Come on now. We know the right answers in here. But when we leave out of here, how are we living? Okay. Yeah. Brooklyn showed up there for a minute. But yeah, how are we living when we get up out of here? We know the right answers in an environment like this. We know the church cliches and slogans. But as we said in Bible class, in that day, many shall say, Lord, Lord. He going to say, I never knew you. I don't know you. I can't even find my notes. I think I gave y'all enough, huh? All right, I'm going to stop there. I gave y'all enough.